Can I have another battery, please? Oh, now you can hear me. It's red, so it's going out. Just throw it. No, don't. Now, that would be embarrassing if you threw it and I didn't...
That's why I had it on and went dead. Thank you. Energizer right. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. You got to put it in right or it doesn't work. I feel like my mother. She used to do that. I'd be like, what are you doing? Move it closer. Can't see anything. Just a minute. I apologize. All right, let's try this one. All right, ready?
It's green. Oh, there you go. That's me. Okay, there we go. I apologize. Let me say what I said before again, all right? Please be in prayer for Mike Irwin. He had a stroke last Sunday and will be having surgery sometime this week. Also for his caregiver, Jackie Phillips. She's his girlfriend and caregiver. So please be in prayer for Mike as well as Jackie. Dorothy Kangro, kind of like the where in the world is Carmen Sandiego or where's Waldo? You got to try to find her. She had gone to the hospital. I was having some infection issues in her chest, and her blood count was low. And now yesterday they moved her again. She's no longer in the hospital. She's at Heartland of Zephyr Hills. Okay, so that's another facility. Maybe she's going to do a ranking of them all, and she'll put a book out. I don't know. She's been to like six or seven of them. We'll see. She would like that. So let's be in prayer for Dorothy as well as Mike and Jackie and many others that we have on our hearts and minds. So let's pray together. Father God, we love you. We thank you for the time we have together. We ask for your strength and your mercy and your grace. We ask, God, that you speak to us and help us, God, to be conduits of your prayer, of your love, of your mercy to others. Help us, God, to share mercies just as the rain falls down on the just and the unjust. Help us, God, to share your message of love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In the fall, just coming up, fall is almost here. Can you believe it? Like school's starting and all that stuff. We're going to do a class called Rooted. I'm going to be talking more about it in the next couple of weeks. You'll see some information in the weekly next week, and I'm hoping that you'll sign up for it. It's an intense class. It's 10 or 11 weeks. We're going to do it from the second week of September till right before Thanksgiving. And I'm hoping that you'll sign up. There's a little bit of a commitment because it costs you some money to get the materials, but it can and will change your life if you decide to get involved. So I hope you will. We'll get some more information on that for you very soon. I'm very thankful that we're inside right now. We're continuing a series on parables, and I want to talk today about the visitor at midnight. Have you ever been locked out of your house? And no matter how loud you knocked, you just couldn't get someone to open up that door. I remember years ago my wife went for groceries. This is before the days of cell phones. And the garage door opener, or as we call it sometimes, the clicker, wouldn't open, wasn't working. So she had to come to the front door, come around the house to the front door, and her arms were filled with groceries. And you know, she's hitting it with her foot, the door, kind of knocking and knocking, hitting as much as she can. So someone would come to the door, but no one came to the door. But I just happened to be walking by the door thinking, who is knocking on my front door, you know? And I looked out the window, and I got to see my frustrated wife because no one was answering the door, you know? Maybe that describes how you may feel about prayer. You're standing at the door, and you're praying, and you're seeking, and you're knocking, and God seems to have just closed that door and will not open it. Jesus understood that frustration. He knew that this was something that all of us would go through, that there's nothing wrong with us. We're continuing our series in parables, and the parables are basically stories that Jesus told, stories that Jesus made up to teach us about the kingdom of God, to teach us what God thinks and how he thinks and what God does, what God values. And Jesus knew the power of the story to help us understand spiritual truths. Prayer can be a difficult subject quite often to understand. It's even more difficult to have a thriving prayer life. One study said that I read that 1 in 5 atheists admit to praying. I don't know who they're praying to, but they're praying. And the reason we stopped praying is not because God answered some important prayer for us. We started praying for our grandmother who had cancer and she was healed. That's not the reason we stopped praying. The reason we stopped praying is because God didn't answer a prayer we thought he should have answered. So today what I want to do is I want to look at a parable that Jesus teaches about prayer that I think will help us understand prayer and maybe in a better way than before you came in here today. I hope that will happen. I'd like us to look at Luke, the 11th chapter today. And let me just kind of give you a little bit of a setting for this. The disciples grew up being taught how to pray. They were young Jewish boys. They grew up going to the synagogue and praying in the synagogue. They would have prayed in the home. But when they saw Jesus pray, they saw something different about his prayer life. There was this time when Jesus was praying, when he finished, his disciples said to him, "Jesus, would you teach us how to pray?" And we must not be doing it right, because it doesn't work for us like it does for you. And Jesus teaches them that what we call the Lord's Prayer, "Our Father who art in heaven." You know that one, right? Depending on maybe your church background, I grew up Catholic. It was one of the ones that we used a lot. You know, when I did something wrong and went to confession, I was told to give 12 Hail Marys and six Our Fathers or whatever. But "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." And Jesus teaches them this prayer. Jesus probably taught this prayer more than once. The same prayer is also found in Matthew chapter 6. That's where we know it the best. But it's also here in the Bible in Luke chapter 11. When he got done teaching the Lord's Prayer, he told this parable. And he addresses this frustration that every one of us face. Look at Luke 11. It'll be on the screen here for you. Verses 5 and 6. Take a look. "Then Jesus said to them, 'Suppose you have a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say, Hey, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine is from a journey has come to me, and I have no food to offer him.'" Now, let me give you the scenario. Let me just turn the tables for just a moment. Let's just suppose that you are in bed, and a friend comes to you in the middle of the night and knocks on the door. And they say, "I've got a friend who is coming into town from a long journey, and I don't have anything to feed them." And you'd think that's your problem, right? That's not my problem. Just because they were rude to you, you don't be rude to me. And Jesus says, imagine that. And you're thinking what they are thinking. "I thought we were talking about prayer. What are you talking about? Somebody comes to the door and you don't want to answer it? What's this all about? I don't understand. What does this story have to do with prayer?" Jesus then continues. He says, "Suppose the one inside answers, 'Don't bother me, the door is already locked, my children are in bed, I can't get up and give you anything.'" Now, to help us understand this, in Middle Eastern culture, the entire family would sleep in one room together. I don't know how they had so many children, but they did anyway. They're all in one room together. And they would sleep on this huge mat. Getting the family ready for bed, though, was a gigantic ordeal. The women would first get the little girls ready for bed, and then they'd get the little boys ready for bed, and then they would get everybody tucked in, and they would lock the door, and at that point they would blow out the oil lamp that they had for light, and they would all get in bed. So getting up to answer the door wasn't very easy. It was complicated. The best way to understand this is if you've ever been, how many of you have ever been tent camping with your children, right? You know what I'm talking about? Okay, that's what this is about. Now you're like, I got it now. I know what he's saying, right? I mean, maybe you went with your parents when you were younger. I don't know. What happens is when you go tent camping, you set up a tent, right? And then when night comes, you all go to bed at the same time normally, right? If you got one tent. And then you know what happens? It's 3 a.m., and you have to go to the bathroom so badly that you know if you don't go, you know that feeling you're just not going to be able to go back to sleep, right? Okay, maybe not that old yet. You will. But If you do get up, though, the other side of that is, if you do get up, you're going to trip over everyone in that tent with you because for some reason you're in the back. And you're looking at all these people in front of you, right? And you can't see because it's dark. And you're going to trip over them, and you're going to most likely wake them up. It's complicated. This is how it was in that culture. This guy in the bed is saying, don't bother me. I mean, if I get up, it's going to wake up the children. And I'm going to have to wake up the women to get the bread out because they know where it is. I don't know. You know, just go away. And Jesus goes on in the story and he says this in verse 8. I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of friendship, yet because of your... I want you to see this word. I always thought it would be a great name for a book. What's the two words there? Shameless audacity. He will surely get up and give you as much as you need. Now let me say this. That word, those two words, shameless audacity, is only found in this one place in the entire Bible. Shameless audacity. I know it's rude to keep knocking on the door, but I'm going to keep asking. And finally, out of pure frustration, I'm going to get out of bed. He's going to wake up his wife. He's going to get the bread. He's going to unlock the door, and the whole family will be awake. He's going to say, here, take the bread and just leave. Go. Now, I find this parable very interesting. I've been really enjoying studying these parables. I've learned so much more about God, the things that I didn't really highlight in my own life, and it's been helpful for me. I hope it has for you. Because usually in the parable, when we hear a parable, we know somebody in that parable, right, is us, and somebody in the parable is God, right? Think about the prodigal son. We must be like the prodigal son who ran away from the father, and God is like the loving father who is waiting for us to come home. We love that story. It's a great story, isn't it? Now, this parable is a little confusing. Because we must be the guy knocking on the door, because this is a parable about prayer, right? And prayer is like knocking on the door and talking to God. But here's the thing. If that's true, that would make God like the grumpy old guy inside who says, don't bother me. So you're like, wait a minute, that's not the God I know. It doesn't make sense. So if we follow that logic, if we follow that reasoning, stay with me, the point must be that when we pray, God doesn't want to be bothered and he wants to just get rid of us. Right? Exciting. I mean, if we're honest, this is how, though, some of us view God. This is how some of you view prayer. This is not the point of this parable, though. This is not a point of comparison. This is a parable in Luke 11 of contrast. It's a contrasting parable. Jesus' point is, the grumpy old guy will give you in because you're persistent, because you keep on knocking, you keep on asking, you keep on seeking, because of your shameless audacity. How much more can we expect from our Father who loves us? That's the story. That's the point. And then Jesus goes on in verse 9, so I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. The one who knocks, the door will be what? Opened. The significance of this verse is not that there's something mysterious between asking versus seeking versus knocking. Jesus says it three different ways for emphasis. To ask and seek and knock. To ask and seek and knock. To ask and seek and knock and not give up. Jesus is going to give us a picture of the Heavenly Father. Remember that Lord's Prayer, it starts, "Our Father in heaven." The word there, Father, is the most intimate of titles. In fact, in Aramaic, which Jesus would have been speaking, the Aramaic word for father is Abba. It's where we get our word daddy. So Jesus says, let me remind you of what a father is like. And he goes on in verse 11 through 13. Let me read those to you. It'll be up here for you. "Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion?" What is the answer to the question? No father would do that. No loving father would ever do such a thing. "If you then, though you are evil," and let me explain it just real quick. He's saying the word there, evil, means imperfect. "Though you are imperfect, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" In Matthew's gospel, it says, "How much more will the Father give you good gifts?" The Father has good gifts to give to us, to give to you. And Jesus is saying, even though we are imperfect parents, if you're a parent, you understand this. We love our children so much, we would give them anything that they needed. And Jesus addresses the thing that frustrates us so much about prayer. For some of you, prayer is a normal part of your day. I understand that. For others, it's kind of a last resort, and we all struggle with the same thing. When God doesn't answer a prayer that we think he should answer, that's the thing that we struggle with. What's that about? I'm so glad God addresses this, because our tendency is to think there must be something wrong with me when I don't get an answer to the prayers that I give to God, that I share with God, that I talk to God about. Or God must not care, right? Or maybe there's just no God. And those are the things we think about. In Luke 18, Jesus tells a parable that is very similar to this one. It's about a widow who keeps going to the judge for justice. And we call it the persistent widow. And she keeps coming back until she finally gets justice. And Luke gives us the main point of the parable at the very beginning. Look at what it says in verse 1 of Luke 18. It says, "Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up." Always pray and not give up. And here's where so many of us find ourselves today. You've been standing outside the door, and you've been knocking and knocking, and you don't know what to do. And you have this prayer that is just so heartfelt. You have this prayer that is just so deep and so desperate that you just don't know what to do. And the Bible says that you pray and do not give up. Pray and do not give up. And when you don't know what to do, you keep praying. And you keep seeking. And you keep knocking. You pray. And you what? Do not give up. Some of you are not old enough to remember this, but the 1985 Chicago Bears, I wish George was here, he's maybe are any other Chicago Bear fans here? Okay, you can leave. that's okay. I understand. I like other teams too. During the 1985 Chicago Bears season, there was a chaplain that the Bears had. His name is, still is, same name, John Casas. And that he would speak to the team as often as the case, that a chaplain speaks to the team before they go out. And here's what the chaplain wrote about. He says, let me get up for this one. He says Mike Ditka, who was a coach in 85, was about, to deliver a pep talk one day. He looked up and he saw Refrigerator Perry. And remember the refrige? He was a really big man. He was 338 pounds. That's a good size man for a refrigerator. And he stood out even in a crowd of pro football players. Didgood gestured to the fridge before he spoke. He said, "Hey, when I get finished, fridge, I'd like you to close with the Lord's Prayer." And then Ditka began to speak again. And meanwhile, Jim McMahon, the brash and outspoken quarterback, punched John Casis, the chaplain, in the ribs. He said, "Hey, look at Perry," McMahon whispered. "He doesn't know the Lord's Prayer." Well, sure enough, Perry sat with a long look of panic on his face. His head was in his hands. He was sweating profusely. "Everybody knows the Lord's Prayer," said Casis to McMahon in disbelief. Well, after a few minutes of watching the refrigerator leaking several gallons of water, or sweat, McMahon nudged Casis again. He said, "Hey, I'll bet you $50 that the fridge doesn't know the Lord's Prayer." As Casis tells the story, he stops to reflect on the absurdity of it all. He said, "Here we are sitting in chapel. We're betting $50 on the Lord's Prayer." When Coach Ditka finished his pep talk, he asked all the men to take off their caps, and then he nodded to Perry and bowed his head. It was quiet for a few moments before the fridge spoke in a shaky voice. He said, "Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep." And Casis felt the tap on his shoulder. It was the quarterback, Jim McMahon. He said, "Here's the $50. I had no idea Perry knew the Lord's Prayer." There's a lot of confusion when it comes... That it's not the Lord's Prayer, just if you didn't know that. Okay, just... Okay. I didn't get that. Okay. There's a lot of confusion about prayer. And because some of our prayers get answered, and some of them don't. And sometimes we don't know if we're doing it right or not, right? I mean, that's one of the things we say. Is there a formula here? Is there some kind of special formula that I'm supposed to say or do? And it's a mystery to us. And are we supposed to keep pestering God until we get what we want? You know, like a little child keeps pulling on, you know, "I want a candy, I want a candy," you know, that kind of thing. I know it's deeper than that. I don't think it's because it's about pestering God and asking for what we want. I really don't. I think it's about what God does in us when we pray. That's the piece we don't think about enough. What happens when we pray to us? Here's the principle, again. Pray and do not give up. That's what some of you need to hear today. You're here today, and that's the thing you need to hear. Because you're ready to give up. And you've been praying some desperate prayers that just don't seem to go answered. They're unanswered. And your thought is, why would God want me to pay my bills? I mean, you know, why wouldn't God want me to pay my bills? Why wouldn't God want me to get a good job? Why wouldn't God want me to find a mate or do well in school? Why wouldn't God want my marriage to make it? And those are good questions. We all have them. And the truth is, you're ready to give up. But not just on prayer, you're ready to give up on God. This is just a reminder to pray and not give up. Sometimes prayer changes our circumstances. Sometimes prayer changes us. I love what C.S. Lewis says. I have it up here for a quote. It's in your weekly, in your weekly as well. "I learned that prayer isn't about changing God. Prayer is about changing me." Prayer is this work that God does in us. And when we begin to pray, when we begin to come to God, when we begin to submit our lives to God, God begins to do a work in us. And when we begin to pray with, here's the word again, or words, shameless audacity, when we begin to pray with that kind of persistence that we don't give up, it changes your perspective. And it's not praying for something. It really isn't. It's really praying through something. You're praying through that situation, whatever that situation may be. And I want to give you something practical to do. This is something I do in my life. I'm not going to tell you that I do it every day because I don't. And I probably should do it more regularly. But there are lots of different ways to pray. But I found that many times we find ourselves in places that we don't know what to pray, right? We've been like, I'm not really sure. I know what my needs are, but I'm not sure exactly how I should pray. We don't know how. We don't know what to say. We just don't have the words. And we find ourselves in this place where we're just silent before God. And I want you to remember, or maybe you didn't know this, but it's really important to be reminded. Even in those moments, the Apostle Paul is very clear. He says in Romans 8 that the Holy Spirit can pray on our behalf when you have no words. And some think because, you know, I don't know, I'm a pastor, I have some special connection to God. That is not the case, let me tell you right away. I'm with you on this. I feel the same things that you feel. And one of the things I do in those situations when I don't know what to pray is I'll pray through the promises of God. I'll pray through God's word. I'll pray through Scripture. I find Scripture and I claim it as a promise to me and I pray through those things. You link your prayers to the promises that are found in this book, to the promises of God. Let me show you a few of these so you understand exactly what I'm talking about. This should help you, I hope. God says in Hebrews 13, never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. In Philippians chapter 4, he says, and my God will meet your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. And then Jesus says in Matthew 28:20, I am with you always. In Jeremiah, he says, I have loved you with an everlasting love. If you ever wonder if God loves you, he does. It's an everlasting love. I have loved you with an everlasting love. Romans 8, if God is for us, who can be against us? In 1 John chapter 4, the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. And when you're facing temptation, there is nothing that you cannot overcome because of the one who is in you. Look at this in Romans 8, 28. And we know that in all things, God works for the good for those who love him and are called according to his purpose or purposes. In 1 John chapter 1, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. And then the last one, Philippians again, the first chapter says this, he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. This is God's work that he's talking about. It's not your work that he began in you when you became a follower of Christ. If you're a follower of Christ, he's in you, he's working in you, he has a purpose for your life, and he's not going to let you go, ever. And he is promising to carry it on to completion in your life and in mine. And when you then begin to link your prayers with God's promises, it changes your perspective. It's not just praying for something, it's praying through something. It's not just praying for a situation you're in, it's praying through a situation you're in. You're saying, God, we're not going away. We're not going to ask and we are going to ask and seek and knock. And we're going to continue to pray. And we are not going to give up. And it's as if God says, now that I know that I have your heart, I'm ready to respond. I'm ready to respond. You see, God is not bothered by your persistence. God is not bothered by your shameless audacity. In fact, Jesus said, God is honored by that. And sometimes God is so moved that he gives you exactly what you're asking for. So, here's a question for you today. What have you been praying for that you're, you know, just kind of ready to give up on? Think about that for a moment. You're like, I've been praying for this for long. I'm ready to give up. I'm just so tired. This is a reminder, this parable in Luke 11. Don't give up. God, we are not going away. We are going to ask, and we are going to seek, and we're going to knock. We are going to keep praying, and we are not going to give up. Now, I want to do something a little different this morning. Since you came and it's raining, you should be rewarded for that, okay? So this is what we're going to do. Each of you are going to get $100. It's on the bottom of your seat. No, okay. I should do that. That'd be funny. Okay. And then see how many people show up the next week. That'd be funny. I want to do something different. Instead of talking about prayer, because that's what we do, and I'm a preacher, and that's what I do. I can't shut my mouth sometimes. I want us together to experience prayer. I'm going to make it simple for you. Just stay where you are. Walk you through it. I want you to see this scripture again where Jesus says, so I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks, what? Finds. And the one who knocks, what happens to the door? It opens. That sounds like a good deal to me. So, and then Jesus goes on to say that your heavenly Father wants to give his children, he wants to give us good gifts. God has a good gift for you, and he wants you to ask. So here's what I want us to do together, because it's easy to go home and then you get in the middle of life and you're like, you know, I haven't prayed for a while. I haven't talked to God about this. I need to do that. I need to be more persistent. So I want us to have a moment of experiencing prayer. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask you to go ahead and just bow your heads and close your eyes. Just do that with me, would you please? And I'm going to guide you through a moment of prayer. I want to give you an opportunity right now to connect with God in this way. So let's do that. Jesus says when we pray our Father in heaven. He is a Father that wants to have a relationship with you. And God has promised, never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. So I want you right now to spend a moment thanking God for his amazing grace in your life and the relationship he has with you. Go ahead and do that. Thank God. The Bible says if we confess our sins, he is faithful and he's just and he will forgive our sins. He will remove them as far as east is from west. And part of confession is just acknowledging our sin. It's being completely honest with God. And this is a time right now that you can confess your sins to God. Maybe it's something that you said that you wish you could take back. Maybe it's a sexual sin. Or you've been dishonest. Right now, I want you to, and this is important, name that sin, name that thing, and ask God for forgiveness. Go ahead and do that. Apostle Paul said that that he that began a good work in you will carry it on to completion. It's God's work. It's not just your work. And I want you to ask God right now to complete that work that he started, whatever that is, that he will direct your life in whatever decisions you have coming up. In Philippians, it's promised that God will meet all your needs according to his riches. So this is the time that we're going to ask God to meet our needs, whatever they are. Some of you feel like you shouldn't ask. God has bigger things to deal with than me. So you just don't ask God for needs. And I know I'm guilty of not asking as well. But the truth is, your Heavenly Father has asked you to ask. He has asked you to ask him. He has good gifts for you. So I want you to pray this prayer. Heavenly Father, I need you to, whatever that is, just fill in that blank. Heavenly Father, I need you to. Maybe it's your marriage or a relationship with a boyfriend or girlfriend, or it's your kids. Or maybe it's an addiction that you've tried to overcome. And the truth is, every day is a battle to stay clean and sober. Maybe it's financial worries or a job. Maybe you have a big decision and you need guidance. Ask God. Heavenly Father, I need you to ask him right now. Lord God, we thank you for your work in our lives. I want to pray today for those who have desperate prayers, and you seem to be silent. Lord, I pray you would help them to pray and not give up. We invite you to work in us. We thank you for being a God who has good gifts for us. Lord, we honor you and we thank you today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.